Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we do know what we're talking about. Welcome to issue number 33.
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
33. This week we have three of our topics. I guess this would be our B week because I'm pretty sure I said A week last week. But this week we're going to be doing a remake of the Captain America movie. We are aware that they are indeed making a Captain America movie. We're just going to say what we'd like to see showing up in said movie. After that, we're going to be doing a top six, my favorite segment. This week it's going to be a fun little personal one, kind of ambiguous. There's no right or wrong answers on this one.
When Shay's involved.
Except for when Shay's involved. But hey, Shay is an element unto himself. But we're doing the top six geek things that we are thankful for. Because Thanksgiving is mañana. It's tomorrow. So yeah.
That is what mañana is.
Well, I know what mañana means. I'm just making sure it works.
Yes.
And then we're going to wrap everything up with a watch this of The Walking Dead series. It's on AMC. But before we do any of that, every week we have a segment we like to call Geekly Happenings, which is where we talk about talk news that's relevant to us geeks. Ethan, why don't you open this one up? Because I don't have anything that's really relevant, well, important to me.
Gore Verbinski, the guy who did The Ring and more notably the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Didn't he do what? Training Day?
Training Day? No, that was Antoine Fuqua.
What did Antoine Fuqua do besides
Training Day?
No. Besides
Replacement Killers, Tears of the Sun.
It seemed like he did. Well, anyway, let's moving on.
Anyway, Gore Verbinski has been signed to direct The Lone Ranger.
Cool.
Starring Johnny Depp.
For Walt Disney. Yeah.
Now, is Johnny Depp playing Tonto or the Lone Ranger? I thought he was playing Tonto.
I think he's playing Tonto.
It seems like that's what I've read.
He's kind of shorter.
He's currently attached to play Tonto.
Shorter?
Well, I mean,
he's like 5'10", dude.
Well, yeah, but they can probably get a taller guy to play.
They could also like
square jawed,
digitally manipulative stuff to make him smaller. But hey, that's pretty cool. I'm not really that familiar with the Lone Ranger, but I like the concept. You know, it's very Zorro-esque.
Who was that masked man?
It would be a lot of fun if they did it in some sort of episodic serial kind of feel. You know, if they actually built it like a trilogy or something, and each one ends on a cliffhanger, that'd be fun.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
So, cool. What else we got?
Oh, gosh. Ingrid Pitt, the Hammer Horror actress, died at the age of 73.
She was on one of my top six commentaries on the death of...
That's why I mentioned it.
Yep. Too bad. I like me some Hammer Horror movies, especially like me some Christopher fucking Lee.
So. Yeah, and the news I spotted was Christian Bale officially said that, you know, that this next one is probably going to be his last Batman.
I still maintain that isn't news, because A, they've always said it's just a trilogy, and B, in the interview he actually says, like, as you know, he says that, as far as he knows, it's the last one. But it sounds to me like, you know, Nolan says, John Bale says how high and that kind of thing, at least in terms of Batman. And good
attitude.
I can't
imagine that Nolan likes working with him because he hasn't been in any of his other movies. Other than,
Been in the Batman movies and he was in the fucking the Prestige.
Yeah, thank you, that one. But he wasn't in Inception at all.
Well, no.
Well,
I mean, the way I understand it, he is
a little expensive.
He is a dick. Well, he's probably a little expensive. He's also probably getting expensive with insurance rates because of the shit he pulled on Terminator Salvation.
And, like, him yelling at people.
Well, that's the shit he pulled on Terminator Salvation, so yes. But yeah, cool. What else was there that I said? Oh, the live-action Batman TV show is going to follow.
Wait a minute, what is this?
After The Dark Knight Rises is finished, there's going to be a live-action Batman television show that is going to be in the same vein, the same feeling as the Nolan Batman trilogy. So that would be interesting to see. You know, a weekly Batman show, you know, right on, as far as I'm concerned.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I mean, we had the Adam West one, and it hasn't been that long, because we've had shit like the Batman and Brave and the Bold and animated series and stuff like that. But live action, it's
next
been a while.
Next year we're getting Green Lantern and Young Justice animated series coming out. I think there's a...
I like Young Justice.
Young Justice, I think, is having a premiere this weekend.
I think so.
Premiere or something like that.
Cool.
And you guys all know board games are being turned into movies.
Yeah.
Monopoly the movie?
No, there is a Battleship movie coming out.
Ridley Scott.
Yeah, well, Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes is optioned and actually has three directors.
Chutes and Ladders.
In the works for Ouija.
What about the fucking different. Death Board movies?
You know, it's like...
Didn't those have Jeffrey Combs in them?
Probably.
I think they did. Those are the Witching Boards movies. Those are dumb.
That's sort of about some sort of magical phenomenon, like doing a tarot card-based movie.
Oh, we could, you know, also say, like, The Craft. They use the fucking Ouija board in there as well.
And Warner Brothers is planning on doing and rebooting Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Woo-hoo!
But without Joss Whedon involved.
We reported on that, dude.
Did we?
It was like 20 weeks ago. This
was official.
There was talk about it. There's actually like start dates and shit, and there's a little bit more information now. They're saying that it's not going to be dealing with her teenage years. It's going to be an older, more experienced Buffy. Mm-hmm. And they also said that they're going to distance themselves from the Joss Whedon series continuity. Yeah, but I don't see the point. I mean, when it comes down to it,
Buffy's awesome, and people weren't ready for it to end when it did.
You really don't listen at all. You don't listen at all. I just said that they're trying to distance themselves from the Joss Whedon stuff. People love the Joss Whedon stuff, so why are they trying to distance themselves from something that they know that works, is what I'm asking. And as Rachel's over there vamping off camera, there is ongoing stories in the comic books. There's Buffy Season 8. She read, a lot of, and she's liked those. And Chris from the Bag and Board cast is also a big fan of the... Buffy series in Season 8. That's how I found it to point Rachel in that direction. But we'll see. You know, it could be good. I mean, probably not, but it could be good.
Yeah, we'll see.
It could be good.
Wesley Snipes been sentenced to 3 years in jail.
Saw that.
For what?
Vampire killing. Tax evasion, dude.
Yep.
You really don't want to pay attention. How long has this been going on?
Yeah. 10 years?
Yeah. A long fucking time.
It flared up recently. Over various issues. Apparently, Paul Hogan has also been having some tax issues, but with the...
I've heard that.
Australian Tax Service.
The ARS.
That's
probably not true.
No, probably
I'm
not.
Just making shit.
But no, Wesley Snipes was just officially sentenced to 3 years in prison.
And he was trying to get out of it. He was trying to get out of it, stating that he's, you know, supposed to do a movie and, you know, whatever. Which, you know, is...
Work release.
Bullshit. You know, I mean, most of us cannot... Like on something serious like that, you can't get work release. When you're talking like a 2 or 3 year sentence, you don't get work release.
True.
I mean, you can get it for, you know, like, you know, 30 days or whatever.
90 days.
90 something days, like something like that. But just because, you know, he's Blade and stuff like that, I don't think he should get any preferential treatment. Well, that's just me.
And I know because of his tax issues, he was supposed to be in The Expendables.
Yeah, they couldn't insure him.
But they couldn't insure him, and so they replaced him with, and I don't know the other dude's name, but...
The guy he was replaced with?
The big black guy in the movie, I don't remember his name at all. He was also in Gamer, and he'd been in other things, but...
Oh.
Gamer sucked.
Yes, it did.
Man, Gamer sucked.
Yes, it did. We did report on Soderbergh and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. last week.
Yep.
Apparently now George Clooney is going to be...
awesome.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E., or at least one of the men.
That's awesome.
I'm hoping he's not Ilya Kuryakin, but, you know, I guess we'll see. I'm guessing it's going to be, you know, Man from U.N.C.L.E. / Ocean's 14.
Something like that, yeah.
Hi, I'm Danny.
I mean, somebody else. Yeah. I am definitely not Danny.
So, I mean, nothing against George Clooney. He's a great actor.
Oscar winner.
I'll be interested to see who they choose for Ilya Kuryakin.
That'd be cool.
And I like to see the original, the original actors, Robert Vaughn and David McCallum show up in the movie. Be nice, but we'll see.
Neat. Something I like to report on is kind of fucked up. But I don't know the date, so you're going to have to... In the past week, I believe it was over the weekend, Bill Nye, the science guy, was doing a public appearance. He does do a lot of public appearances, as it turns out. I was unaware. But he was speaking at a college when he started having chest pains and shit and had a heart attack, fell over and stuff. He did live through this, and he's doing better, you know, through reports and stuff, but the... I mean, yeah, that's newsworthy in itself, but the thing that's kind of fucked up about it is a lot of people, like, whipped out their cell phones and started taking pictures of him and posting it on Twitter and shit instead of, you know, using that cell phone to, you know, call 911 or something like that. But,
yeah.
Hey, that's fucked up, man.
Oh, and did you hear about the RoboCop costume?
What about it?
A couple weeks back, a Detroit dad...
Stolen?
No, a Detroit dad made a RoboCop costume for his younger, for his, I saw about that, his like 3-year-old or something.
I saw that
like
picture, yeah.
Well, it turns out when they were wandering around Detroit taking those pictures, they ran into some Detroit police officers who were guarding or running, working security for a movie set that was being filmed, and some of the film crew came over and took pictures, and one of them knew Peter Weller.
Okay.
Sent him the picture, and so Peter Weller has sent an autographed picture of RoboCop to the kid.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
That's cool.
Saying, you're the real RoboCop. Stay out of trouble.
Awesome.
So I thought, I just wanted to mention that.
That's cute.
It was really cool.
That's a cool little story. That's a cool little story. What's your science news? It said something about robots and
I've
shit.
I've got the latest in robots is the that Russia is launching a robotic probe to Phobos, one of the moons of Mars. That's
Robotic probes aren't anything new.
Well, no, but it's the latest in robot news. Is there's a robot on its way. It's going to be heading out in about a year. It's going to be sent to Phobos, one of the moons of Mars.
See if they'll make a nice summer home.
Probably.
Then what's that?
I said oh.
Oh,
I was. The only other bit I've got is they released a picture of Carl Urban.
Saw that. Dread. I liked it.
But, and apparently it's not. It's in rehearsals or something like that. I mean, it's.
It'll be lighted differently. They'll probably make some adjustments.
So, I mean,
but
it's obviously a bit of a mock-up.
I like what they're seeing so far.
It looks good. Yeah. Looks a lot better than the Sylvester Stallone.
The thing I got was that Colin Farrell has been confirmed for being in the Total Recall reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
yeah, I mentioned that last week.
Yeah, but he's confirmed now.
He's confirmed now.
Okay. Last week he said he was offered it, but he's going to be in it now. So, and you said you had one more bit?
Oh, yeah. They have successfully, some scientists in Germany at the University of Bonn have successfully created a Bose-Einstein condensate out of photons.
A Bose-Einstein what?
It is a so-called superparticle. They've made a
What was the word you said?
Bose-Einstein condensate.
Condensate?
Condensate.
Condensate.
It's basically it's a part. It's something 10 times the mass of a standard atom. Only it behaves like an atom, and it's very useful in.
Because they make really heavy shit out of it.
No, they can make really, really small things with it. They can create smaller, more precise lasers. They can create the most immediate impact is that they're going to be able to make processors a lot faster because they're going to be able to etch smaller.
When you say like something that's like 10 times the weight of an atom, the thing that I start thinking about is it would be thinner, stronger armors and stuff like that.
But well,
I don't know shit about it, so maybe that's why I'm a target guy instead of an atomizer.
Right. Some of the things about condensates, it was Professor Weitz, actually. But
racist.
German anyway, but the big deal is that the first impact is they're going to be able to create more precise lasers. Condensates are also going to be useful for creating super materials that are able to change shape, basically as you electrify them in certain ways. And it's a kind of a breakthrough,
like Batman's cape.
Yeah. Okay. Like the way that Batman's cape changed shape like that, that's based off of condensate physics.
Neat.
But the reason it's news is not it's basically because they didn't expect it to be done this soon. It was they figured out a nifty workaround to it's something that they kind of were like
shortcuts in science.
You know, like 20 years from now we'll be able to do this, and they just
did it
yesterday.
Did they ever see Jurassic Park
or anything written by Michael Crichton?
Yeah, really. Man,
the dangers of
that's
rapid
it.
Science.
Fucking, I'm calling it. 6 months from now, we're all going to get eaten by dinosaurs because of this shit.
Yep.
It's fucked up. So I don't think we got anything else, do we?
No.
Groovy, groovy, groovy.
That's all I got.
So stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our We Make It of Captain America. Stay tuned.
Are you gonna do it?
And we are back with We Make It. This week we're going to be discussing what would happen if the Red Pill Film Production Company were given the monumental task of making a Captain America movie.
And $200 million.
And $200 million. I don't know what costs that. It'd be nice.
To give us $200 million anyway.
Nice to have that kind of cushioning. I mean,
$50 million for Hookers and Blow. And
right.
$150 million for the movie.
$150 million for Hookers and Blow.
$50 million.
Because you know, part of our contract is.
This plan. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yep. See, it would have to be because you know, I think part of our contract would be we'd have to use Chris Evans.
That's true.
Because if they took that out, I would get rid of him. Nothing against Chris Evans. I would want to go a different direction with him personally. But, you know, hey. So, what's important about a Captain America movie, guys?
Nostalgic. Okay. I agree with what they're doing as far as a period movie.
Sure.
I think it should be his origins.
World War II.
I think, I'd like to see that, but I want to see some present day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just an epilogue. Maybe
it might be a bookend type of thing for me.
Okay, you know, you open up with them finding his fucking with him frozen in the glacier,
and like, who the heck is this guy? You know,
I'm Captain America.
It could be like somebody telling the story.
You know, it's from the point. I'm saying tell the movie not from Cap's point of view, but from someone else's point of view, like Bucky's, or
it makes it more heroic.
From Nick Fury's point of view, you know, it's like, oh well, let me tell you the story about Captain America, kid. Blah 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 blah.
Uh-huh. He's this guy. He gave us a lot of hope. He's, mm-hmm. You don't understand what it means to me to be standing right here.
Or,
right now.
You could even do the whole movie as in, from in flashbacks type of thing. If someone is doing this, finding out who this guy is.
Sure.
And as they're talking to soldiers who were in World War II, they say, well, I remember when he did this, and then it goes back and deals with that.
You'd have to have a Hitler fight in there.
I'm thinking
if we're going to do that kind of movie.
You can swap out Hitler for Red Skull, but...
No. We have to have Hitler in there. Just for, you know, even if it's one scene.
One scene of Captain America punching Hitler in the face. That's all I'm asking for. Mm-hmm.
That is all I'm asking for.
Yep.
That'd be fine.
We're all for that.
That'd be good.
We're all... That's a unanimous decision.
Yep. Captain America.
We can get Robert Carlyle can play Hitler, because he played him so well in Hitler the Younger Years, or whatever that was called.
Sounds good to me. I think the thing I would want, like, nostalgic sort of a period type of movie, I think it needs to have that sort of innocent, I would really want to have that innocent 1940s.
I would too, and saying so, once again, I mean, I keep speaking ill of people that are involved in the process, and that's not it, I just would be looking at a different direction. But, like, I wouldn't choose Joe Dante to direct it. I mean, I don't know who I would choose. I mean, like, I would love to get somebody, you know, I understand
that. Well, I look at that he did
The Rocketeer.
And that...
I'm
cool with that, but he's done other things that haven't been so great.
I would like to see him... No, that's not what I'm saying. I would like to see... I mean, I understand they're dead, but I'd like to see somebody like William Wyler direct it. Or, like, fucking, you know, like... I don't know. Kurosawa. No, that'd be dumb. But, no,
Kurosawa
but...
Kurosawa could direct anything.
It'd be interesting.
The fucking,
Frank Capra,
Jack Warner
of the
that would be
time,
that would be cool. I mean, like, that would be so fucking
somebody
cool.
Could capture that sort of that era.
That would be really interesting.
Was it William Wyler that directed Best Years of Our Lives? Because I would love to capture the feeling they had in that. Mm-hmm. It was just post fucking
less of a period piece, more of a movie that feels like it was made in that time.
Well, you can make a period piece that's made in that time.
Well, I thought we wanted to move it to modern day.
We want the movie to feel like it was a 1940s movie.
Right.
It'd be interesting to do it in black and white, actually.
I don't know about that. I would love... Schindler's
List kind of sort of black and white.
Like the movie that is coming out, I'm going to be very disappointed if there isn't fucked up grainy news footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, I'd love to see that, but doing the whole movie in black and white, I don't think it'd be appropriate for this. I mean, it just seems like, you know, going too lo-fi.
Well, I think if you're going for a standard narrative type of movie, I think a good the story of, I don't know, would you guys want to tell the story of Steve Rogers before he became Captain America, or...
Me, I wouldn't.
Not his life
just
story, just the...
Just sort of introduce him slightly, and then it's like, and boom, you know, he's
you know,
a young man
serum
without
and, yeah.
the strength
you
to
know
be a soldier.
You know very well how... You know very well what flavor comic book movies I like. I don't dig on exposition.
Sure.
I would just have Captain America in the movie and maybe have a throwaway line, something about a super soldier serum.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's me. But,
see,
you know,
I think it'd be important to show the Super Soldier Serum stuff.
I don't know. I mean,
it almost doesn't seem that important. I mean, he almost could just be a really athletic... You could do it without the Super Soldier Serum at all.
Or, you know, like, do it as, like, one kid saying to another kid who's watching said grainy news, real footage, oh, yeah, he got, you know, and, like, telling the story, like, through the almost point of view of an 8-year-old, of, like, you know, this is what I hear heard happen, and, like, you know, they kind of show, like, a visual narrative on the screen of, like, you know, some little wimpy dude getting injected and getting all beefed up. You know, do it like, you know, secondhand knowledge and having Captain America some larger-than-life figure.
Sure, sure. And, I think the... I would really like to go the Ultimates route and have him be this ultimate badass type of character.
I do too.
I like how they did it. You know, that's how they introduced him. It's like, oh, we parachute him from pansies.
Sure.
Type of thing. And you don't see anything about the serum or anything. It's
Which
just,
is cool.
It's all given to you.
This is assumedly, so. There's no way that somebody could be that phenomenal.
Much of a badass.
Yeah. And I am in a... I'm in a lonely boat, and I'm not that big of a fan of the death of Captain America's story arc. But I kind of liked... Like, the thing I didn't like about it is it had almost a very, it had a very ugly feel to it, a la, you know, Alan Moore, Frank Miller, shit like that. Because, you know, you had this pure superhero in Captain America, and he was, you know, of the American way, and blah, blah, blah. And you had all this ugly bullshit, you know, government interjecting themselves into it, and blah, blah,
betrayal
blah. Betrayal and bullshit like that. And that'd be an interesting thing to get on there without taking it to such like a
It seems like you would
dark
have to... If you
place.
Wanted to do the registration and the death of Captain America...
I don't want
to
do all that.
You'd have to do it in a trilogy. I don't think you could do... You could really do it justice in one movie.
I don't know that it would be a very interesting movie, honestly.
Well, Captain America wouldn't be in it very much, so it would be really more of like a Condor of the movie.
That is a good point, because that'd be more of like a Bucky movie. And honestly, be more of like that fucking hawk guy. I don't remember.
I had Condor.
Condor. There
I had an idea just a moment ago as we were speaking. If you wanted to make Steve Rogers even, you know, Captain America, yet, you know, more so of an iconic, like, like something you aspire to but just can't really grasp, you could make the movie not about him. And
yeah,
so much it's about Bucky.
Make it from Bucky's point of view or somewhere
Nick
where
Fury
Cap is
maybe,
in there but
never
you're not
gonna happen.
Inside his head you're not you know
never gonna happen
you're not seeing his life
never
you're just seeing
happen.
Him
and it would be interesting
it would be an interesting movie but if you're going for like the blockbuster superhero punch him up type of
God,
movie
God,
I know they're gonna go for it
I don't want that for this though
oh but he's gonna be
what they're gonna give you
I understand
it's gonna be a kung fu action movie
this
but
is
I'm
what,
seeing it's gonna be like Indiana Jones type of stuff you know I mean Indiana Jones and Last Crusade type of action the whole sequence where he's escaping from the Nazis and whatnot I think that's pretty much take that out, and that's the Captain America.
You know, and I understand that that's what we're going to get, but we're talking about what we'd like to see. And, you know, I just think, like, the summer action blockbuster is just so done that, you know,
rather
I think...
see him take on the Hulk after getting unfrozen.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that I'd like to see a very, just like a very stylistic movie with some very
and
40s sensibilities
I
to it.
I think to fit it into what they've got already, it's just not...
I know it isn't going to happen.
Like if he foiled an assassination plot by the Red Skull or something, that'd be really, you know, not a lot, you wouldn't need a lot of action, just like...
That'd be pretty small. I mean, unless, you know, you have like a James Bond-esque opening
more of an espionage style
yeah.
where, you know, the question isn't whether he's going to be able to defeat them, it's whether he's going to be able to find them to punch
them
sooner.
Whenever we talk about a Nick Fury movie, I think that's the type of thing I'd go for with a Nick Fury James Bond type of feel. But as
from
far as for Captain America...
From the M point of view, though, is what it would be for that.
Well, I think really for the Captain America thing, I would want to go for an Indiana Jones feel to it.
I agree.
You know,
I agree
with that. A serial type of... You
but
know,
man, I want a really visual director that just that just really uses because I love the looks of the movies from the 40s, and I just think that could be so fucking cool in this movie.
That'd be nice, and I mean,
and Joe Dante is capable of
Red Skull's a villain. I think that's just a given at this point.
Yeah,
especially opening everything up.
Right.
I mean, Viper is the next one that comes to mind, and it doesn't seem as potent.
Baron Zemo.
Isn't he the Viper guy? No, he's totally separate.
I think he's in
Hydra.
Well, there's all. I mean, I can see him sticking a fucking Crossbones. Is that his name?
Crossbones.
I can see him sticking him in there because of the
Crossbones.
Because
Captain
of
America and Union Jack.
Well, just because of like the visibility of the death of Captain America story, I can totally see him being put in there. But man, I want to see a really stylistic 40s-esque movie.
That would be
cool. Even to the point of like shitty effects, and I don't mean shitty effects. I mean 40s style. I mean I don't want to make a $200
movie.
That'd be awesome.
The
I don't want to
swing by. And
I don't want to see a $200 million
dollar
movie.
On.
I don't want to see a $200 million movie with $120 million of that budget going to the visuals. I don't want to see that. Sure. But, you know...
The visuals aren't nearly as important.
Exactly.
Captain America doesn't shoot laser beams. He doesn't blow up buildings. He punches people, and that's about it.
Throw shields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't and, be surprised well, if they don't that do that at all.
I really don't want him to have the
round
the
shield.
The round shield.
I don't either. I wouldn't
have the
you know
the in, eagle shield or whatever.
In the present day, I would have mm-hmm. that one. And you know what? Maybe I wouldn't even have that. Maybe he would, you know, he would be given that by Fury or whomever, and that would lead into the sequel.
Yeah, but so like, you're gonna need this.
Yeah, but in the background, I'd give him the heater shield, and because I love that shield, and it looks like I'm gonna get to see it, so that's awesome.
Oh, well, that's an awesome picture they released.
Oh, I want a poster of that shit.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious.
I'd like to see it a little bit more like Bolter smoky. Shield. You know, very Tony Scottish. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, get Tony Scott to direct it.
You know what? I can see that almost.
Yeah.
I watched the Pelham 1-2-3 movie that he directed. This not too cool.
But you know, and I do think Chris Evans is probably the wrong choice for an actor for it. I do too.
There's nothing wrong with him.
I would want more of a 40s feel. Actor to it, basically.
Fucking Clark Gable.
Yeah,
basically.
I want Clark Gable, Cary Grant, someone like that.
William Holden would be badass.
Right.
1940s William Holden. Mm-hmm. I know we're saying names you don't know. So.
Yeah. No, Cary Grant. I know that name.
Do you know who? One movie he's done.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, so see, when the big boys are talking, Shay.
but if you had to cast him with actors from now, I mean. There aren't really a lot of actors. Brad Pitt
could pull it off.
The closest I would say is Michael Bean. George Clooney.
Michael Bean could pull it off.
He's more.
Anthony said.
Aaron
Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart.
Little old, little pussy like, but you know, throw him in a gym.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's amazing what you can do.
He's not a bad actor.
2 months, so,
but I think that there's more natural choices.
I think ultimately, I think we're on a line here. Essentially, we're looking at a war movie.
Yeah,
much more of a war.
But how about?
Really want it to be like a serial. You know,
Matt Damon. Matt Damon, a la Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. Sweet, but I want a war movie more than a dun da da da. You know,
Matt Damon actually looks pretty tough. I mean, he's just got that sort of like looks like he's a street fighter kind of look to him.
Yeah, when he gets up. Yeah.
So I mean, if that would be the type of movie I would like to see.
I want to see a war movie,
serial type, where you have some good, you know,
how about
where you have a clear cut good guy and here are the villains there.
None of this gray bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
it's very golden age.
Captain America.
A story where he's, you know, so you have, I'm for America, red, white, and blue, and I'm the Nazis, we're eating babies and puppies.
Yeah. I mean, like, have a villain in there, Captain America and Admiral Fuck America, you know?
It
should be just like that, straight up.
There's no sympathy
there's no
for
gray.
This devil.
I don't want gray in this movie.
Yeah. Kick him in the nuts.
Once again, a very 40s feeling.
I want a very four-color, I mean, that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully the Captain America movie is going to be cool. I have the least amount of hope in the up-and-coming superhero movies. That's not true. The least amount of hope I have is in Thor. I mean, I'm just seeing stuff I don't want to see with that. But, man.
I'm looking forward to the Avengers compilation where they go after Hulk.
That's like 3 years away, I'm not going to think about it right now.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, they might fuck everything up before then. But yeah, you know, this is a little off topic, but I would love to see a sequel. I'd love to see a sequel, and I'm almost going to be contradicting myself here. I want to see a sequel set in modern day, and it can be your balls-to-the-wall action movie. I want the villain to be Iron Patriot. I want the villain to be Tony Stark. It works for a sequel. I know, but I would do that.
Iron Man.
I would do that because you have Tony Stark in the movies, and you don't have
Norman Osborn.
You can't use Norman Osborn in the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that.
Well, no, it's their rights to the character owned by Sony.
By Fox. Sony, yeah, I'm sorry, you're right.
Sony.
I'd love to see Iron Patriot in a movie. I'd love to see it, and I would make it Tony Stark. And you know, he just wouldn't be like as big of a dickhole as Osborn.
See, now I just don't see that
just two kind of conflict
between the two characters.
You know. Two-minute principle conflicting over some very serious issue.
But see, the thing would be is like your major villain.
What about Gray?
Your major villain in that movie is going to be the modern day sensibilities of a modern day America.
I would see more conflicting with Fury. In that regard.
Then make fucking Fury Iron Patriot.
Well,
whatever.
Fury could be pushing
when I'm, okay, Tony to I need to say that when I say I want to see Iron Patriot, I literally want to see that suit.
I want to see the
robot. I like that suit.
Iron Man,
it looks
red,
cool.
White, and blue.
I like that suit. But
it's sort of like Captain America.
Yeah, as far as a series of movies, you know, I think the second one, a more modern day... action-oriented type of film, I think is a really good idea. But
and the fish out of water thing would be fun too.
We talked about it with Iron Man when we were talking Iron Man 3. It's you're running into problems. How do you integrate that in with these other heroes that are running around and that the other feeling? You want to keep the same feel that it's the same universe without doing something so diametrically different that you just go off.
Well, see, but at least on the first part of that, it would be okay because you would be making a movie that was set 70 years ago, and so you could do anything stylistically that you want, and you do run into that problem with the sequel unless there is seeds planted in, like, the, you know, the Avengers or Iron Man 3 or what have you. So I think it, you know,
I think they're probably planning on doing that.
I think that they have that in mind if they're actually able to pull it off.
Yeah, how will they pull it off?
Is sort of plant seeds in the first movie of.
And we got
Red Skull, basically. Red Skull coming back would make Cap go off on his own to deal with it.
Joe Quesada is the Marvel head of
entertainment,
right?
That guy, yeah.
So he's their Geoff Johns.
Yeah.
Okay. Chief Hopefully,
creative officer.
He's a little old, but hey. By the way, Geoff Johns is 33 years old.
Nice.
Wow.
That's fucked up.
But, I mean, I've said about all I want to say about Cap.
You want to see a Captain America movie?
I do want to see the Captain
America
movie. Look forward to it. I want to see the trailer for the Captain America movie.
I'm telling you, it's going to be attached to the fucking Tron.
Well, no, Thor is going to be attached to Tron.
That isn't official, is it?
It's not official, but it makes sense.
But they're
sense.
Saying it's coming... But, you know what, well, it would be badass if they both were. Because they're coming out a couple of weeks away from each other, aren't they? I mean, that'd be a good fucking movie going, even if Tron sucked. Hopefully,
I don't care how this movie was. Right. The trailers were rad.
So, yeah. I've been to movies before the trailers are better than the movie. It's actually not that uncommon. Like, all the trailers were way fucking awesomer than Prince of Persia.
Oh.
I'll give you that. Whew. But yeah, I guess that's been our We Make It of Captain America. We just want to see something a little off the beaten path.
I like the noir feel. I really do.
That'd be cool. But, we are going to take a little break. We're going to be right back with our top six geek things that we are thankful for. We will be right back.
Top six.
Eat shippers.
Shitty films.
Yours is not my
world, babe. And we are back with our top six section. As tomorrow is Thanksgiving, we decided to be a little festive in the vein of Thanksgiving. Talk about Thanksgiving. We don't want to be all gay and shit and talk about our loved ones and families. We're going to talk about geek things. And so, we've had discussions on the show before about what we actually feel as a geek, and I think the general consensus is that they overabundance of knowledge in specific and very concise areas. And so we're able to make up lists of things that we are thankful for that are geek-related. I had zero problem making this list. I did it on a 10-minute break at work. That quick, that easily. I even have my order nailed down, which is something pretty rare for me these days.
I'm curious how each of us approached it.
I do too.
I really had to like bend my brain around actually.
Not me. Mine was easy, super easy.
Well, did you go for broad spectrum stuff or more narrow stuff?
Well, both really, because I have broad spectrum things and I have specifics in some of those things. But yeah, let's get moving on this. Ethan, what's your number six thing you're most thankful for, geek-wise?
I don't know if you're going to call this a geek thing, but geeks love it, and it's pizza.
Okay.
Pizza.
That's quite broad, and I do love me some fucking pizza.
Goddamn right.
Well, I mean, if we're going to do that, we could say Funyuns and Mountain Dew.
You could have.
I mean,
Funyuns.
Beer.
Pizza, I think, is food of the gods.
Pizza's good
and,
shit.
And a vital necessity to any good game session, actually.
Exactly. You know, I think
pizza's good stuff.
It's the go-to food.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I bet you Hephaestus is making pizza right now in his Forge of the Gods. That's going to be awesome. Cool. What's your number six, Shay?
I had to pick something that basically this is sort of like it's last on my list because it's like it belongs on this list no matter what, but it's really not really, really, really high on my list. It's robots.
You like robots, huh?
I think robots are awesome.
Okay. Can you expand on this? Sell me on it?
What do I have to sell you about robots? I mean, robots. They're robots. Everybody loves robots.
Do you make robots?
I don't make robots.
Do you have robots?
Atomic robots?
Robots?
I don't own any robots.
Like Roomba, the robot vacuum?
I would get a Roomba if I could. There's a coffee robot that's out right now that serves you coffee. It's like a big, like, new thing. It's the Tosimo or whatever. It's a coffee robot. I want one.
Sweet.
I want an Osmo.
Don't be saying that when it's trying to kill you in your sleep.
Probably.
Robots are evil.
You know, there's a tasting robot, and they fed it human flesh, and it says we taste like pork.
Really?
Really. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So, first of all, you know, a robot has tasted human flesh.
That means we have to put it
granted,
down.
It's only a torso, but I'm sorry.
Once the robot's tasted human blood, it has
Skynet
to be dismantled.
It's in the making right there.
Hey, torso's more than an arm and leg, so...
Hey.
Ooh, that's a high price.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, it's looking like we are all going to be taking different approaches to this, which should be... No,
so we've got pizza and robots.
And mine's really broad. Mine's about...
Robot pizza?
Robot pizza.
Robot pizza.
That's the name of our show from now on. Welcome to Robot Pizza, where we don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, when we're talking about broad things, I think I might have actually picked like the broadest thing of all time. And it's number six on my list because there's people that are way more into it than I am. But at the same time, it has its fingers in every single one of my other things. And that's nothing else other than the fucking internet. I love the internet. I mean, it's fucking cool. But there's bigger internet geeks out. I mean, one sitting to my left right now.
Yeah, but I hate the internet.
I love the internet. And, you know,
I spend too much time on the internet.
And the way I see it is, like, you know, all my other things on my list is going to, you know, it leads into them. I can look up shit about pizza and robots and see if there is such a website out there as robotpizza.com and things of that nature.
I
love me the internet. So, moving on. Ethan, number five.
Oh, my number five going down my list would have to be the microprocessor.
Nice. In computers?
In computers, yes.
Okay.
Because computers, I think, are so nice and awesome, and they've been around for a while.
Very important part of robots.
But yes, but microprocessors came out and revolutionized computers.
Are they your favorite pizza topping?
Yes,
awesome.
Only on robot pizza. But microprocessors came out, revolutionized computers, and took the computer that was the size of a house and made it the size of a desk, and then eventually now it's
the size of an iPhone.
Size of that. So I think miniaturization in the microprocessor is by far one of my absolute favorite geek things.
And now, thanks to Super Photons, it's going to get even smaller.
Exactly.
Super groovy. Shay, number five.
More than robots. And this is one of the important reasons that robots was six, because this had to be at least one above it. More than robots, I like cyborgs. Yeah, I wrote.
So yours are kind of like elements and geek shit that you like.
I want to be a cyborg. I want to have a robot eye.
Man, I can categorically state that I really don't want to be a fucking cyborg.
I want a robot eye right here and one back here too.
I'm sorry, but
one of my hands, so I can like put my hand around a corner.
Is it still? I mean, if you have your own awesome brain, are
we're
you still
willing to install that stuff. I can't tell you it's going to work, but we'll experiment.
Here, turn around.
Awesome.
There, now you're a cyborg.
It might involve duct tape and some staples.
Can you still be a cyborg and have a human brain?
Oh yeah.
Or isn't that like kind of like the whole story of cyborgs?
RoboCop is a cyborg.
But he's got all the fucking overriding shit in him, you know.
Well, limbic override is pretty standard in a full body conversion cyborg, but
he has a cognitive process. Yeah, he thinks, therefore he is.
He can sort of.
Now we're getting all existential and shit.
Yeah.
Fuck existential. I like beer. But moving on to my number five, I ought to replace number five with beer, but I'm not gonna. My number five is one that I think people would expect it to be higher on my list, but it's comic books.
Oh.
I love me some comic books, but at the same time, I don't think I like comic books as much as, like, you know, Ethan or the guys in the Magnum Boardcast. I like the stories that I like. What?
Kissing you like me?
No, he doesn't like comic books as much as
you do.
Like comic books.
He doesn't like comic books as much as he likes me.
I don't like comic books as much as Ethan likes comic books, or the guys at the Bagged and Boardcast like comic books. I like the stories that I like, but I think that they are a very interesting medium to tell a story, and I enjoy the art. Well, granted, I like comic books that are well made, but there are people out there that just like comic books for the sake of comic books. They don't give a fuck about what's in them. They just like the format. And me, I just kind of like the format of the shit that I like. So
I'm
my
a
number
fan of sequential narrative. Yeah.
So my number five is comic books. Moving on, Ethan, number four.
My number four is a recent addition to my list, or recent as in within the last several years, and it is
bathing.
Well, yeah.
Recently really came to truly enjoy
bathing. I've grown to enjoy a nice shower. And I bathe once a month, whether I need it or not now.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. My number four would be Doctor Who.
Cool.
Especially the new series and even the old series that it's...
I haven't really talked to you much about that. You digging Matt Smith?
I am digging Matt Smith. I haven't seen the entire new season yet, but...
More different.
Just different. Yeah. Really, I mean, that's how I approach all of them. But as far as Doctor Who is such a... It sort of embodies everything I love about science fiction, in that it's different. It's... Yes, sir?
Remember I was talking about John Candy earlier?
Uh-huh.
John Candy owned the original TARDIS.
Nice.
You're kidding me.
John Candy was a huge fucking Doctor Who fan.
Who isn't?
Yeah, way to go, John Candy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But, I mean, stuff like that is I think Doctor Who...
Everybody loves Doctor Who, really.
Everybody should. I mean,
well, it's
it's cool.
Yeah, like I said, it embodies everything about science fiction that I love. You know, it has some commentary in it about
society.
It's about as high sci-fi as I like going.
It's also just darn entertaining.
You
have laser blasts, and you have, you have little trash cans.
And sword fights and your gym jams.
Yeah, and you have gym jams. And, I mean, it's funny, it's entertaining, and it's just, I think, one of the best shows out there.
I like it.
All around. And that's why I love it.
How long is Matt Smith going to be around?
He hasn't said.
But he likes it so far.
So far, yeah.
Groovy.
They've started filming the next series already.
And with him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving on. Shay, what's your number four?
My number four, as it often is on these lists that I have a hard time putting together, is something that's sort of I'm geeking out on lately. It's Facebook applications.
Oh, fuck Facebook applications.
I like them. They're little, they're clicky-clicky. I have a farm. Yay. I have a cafe world. I have a restaurant city.
I use plenty of them, but, man, they piss me off a lot. I mean, and mostly, you know, the way I see Facebook applications is, like, you know, they're cool, but I like the fact that you can block them.
I do like the fact that you can block them.
I really don't.
You don't want to be involved in this game. Just
I love Rachel,
and,
but I don't give a fuck that her
again.
Cow
it's
escaped
really cool.
from her farm. And same thing with everybody in my life.
I'm all that.
And for the record, Rachel does not do face.
That's one of the things that's really awesome about him is it's so easy for you just like, I don't care about your cafe world. I don't want to ever see it again. And click. It's done. You don't ever
It sounds like it's Facebook that you like, not just Facebook apps.
No, I like the fact
that... I do like Facebook.
The thing about these app games is you cannot lose these games. You can like put them down. My Frontier world is like overgrown, like trees and bears have taken over my Frontier land.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
But I can just pick it back up and start chopping trees down and killing bears anytime I want to. I just have to get back to it whenever, you know, I feel like it. And it's just, there's no, game over. Start, you know, back to level one, the game is over. It doesn't do that. You just keep going, and it's just a matter of how much time do you put into them. It's really pleasant, I think. But anyway.
Cool. Well, my number four is one that I can't think of anything better off the top of my head, but it just feels like I need to replace it with something because it's too broad for my taste. But I wrote down technology.
Technology.
I love fucking iPhones and iPads and computers. And I love the fact that there are emulators on computers that replace the $200 Nintendos that we bought 15 years ago.
ROM emulators.
I love...
And you can have the entire library of games there, and it's like...
Nothing. Yeah,
200 megabytes and
you're
done.
Yeah. I love Facebook. I love YouTube. I love RedPhoneZone.com. I love that guy at theglasses.com. I love flat-screen monitors and... Wii's and PlayStation Moves and all that stuff. Technology blows my fucking mind.
The undercost interface system.
Especially if you
look
at, you know, like 100 years ago where technology was.
Motherfuck 100 years ago. Think 20 years
yeah,
ago.
Really.
True.
When
that's
we
true.
Can remember it.
I think it's,
don't you remember, like, damn near creaming your pants seeing the pictures from, like,
Super Mario Brothers 3?
I mean, and that still looks like shit now compared to what we got now.
Still a fun ass game.
Oh no, good! I love Super Mario Brothers.
Not on my list, but I love Mario 3.
I love Mario 3, but I mean, that's what's just so fucking cool about it is it's like, I mean, it's almost like this bastard illegitimate child that we have that got out into the world and became like some badass billionaire. It's just so cool to see this grow and just go to levels you never expected to happen, especially in such a short amount of time. I mean, do you remember when cell phones were that big? It's in our lifetime. I've had them before. I mean,
and we're like 20 years out.
On we're 20,
like having a push button house where you're like, I want to move my, move my living room.
Ethan and I like to complain about being old and having fucking Alzheimer's and shit, but when it comes down to it, we're not that old. And yeah, we've seen technology grow so fucking much. It's just so cool to see. That's my number four. What's your number three, Ethan?
Sort of along the lines of what you were talking about earlier. I was going to go comic books, but I sort of took it a step further in
Marvel
superheroes.
Books.
So
yeah.
Superman would be on my list, but not necessarily the character Superman, but the invention of Superman.
Yeah,
because he was
the reality
first superhero,
of Superman. Yeah.
You know, quote
sure.
unquote, with as far as cape tights running around saving people. And when he was created, I mean that started that's what started the whole. The ball rolling and got you Spider-Man, got the Fantastic Four out there, got all these really cool characters and this really cool industry going, and, you know, comic books, anyone who's watched the show know I'm a huge comic book fan, so I mean,
you don't fucking say.
No,
nah.
Totally not. But Superman, you know, was the first one to show up. He was, you know, he was the pioneer in the field, and because of him, we have all this great content, all this great, you know, comic books. We have these comic book movies that are coming out. We have Green Lantern coming out. Looks really cool.
As it turns out, that's actually some comic book movie.
I know.
According to the bitches in the theater in front behind me. I think we're gonna. I'm
talk
gonna,
about that in the afternoon.
I'm talking about that on the Harry Potter review.
Oh, okay.
So moving on.
Yeah, that's my number three, Superman.
I almost put comic books and superheroes in some way or another, but I couldn't figure out how to say it. You know, you put just comic books, you put Superman and its inception. I just sort of ignored it. I was like, I just can't categorize it. So it's not on my list, but it's something I definitely thought about. What I decided to go for my number three was actually phenomenal gadgets of science fiction that are impossible, like
a lightsaber, sonic screwdrivers.
The example that came to mind as being the most phenomenal was the Star Trek communicator, as just being like, oh god, that's just so.
I got one.
I got two.
It doesn't translate Swahili live. You
yes,
know?
It can. There's an app for that.
No, there's not. It's they're not quite there yet. And
there are
like,
translation apps on the okay.
But more so than that, the Starship communicator, they beam down onto a planet that they've never been to before, and then they're like. Four sentences. It's like, oh, I found your base root language.
No sentences.
Yeah, and then suddenly they're just talking. You know, that's the level of like that's what I'm talking about when I say like science fiction gadgets. That
the
are
universal
just,
translator.
Just beyond rationality. They're like, we want just
hey, you know, does
it.
They've
done.
Essentially got medical tricorder around now. So.
Yes, they
yeah,
do.
The deep imaging scannings and CAT scans and such. You just gotta microsize them.
They're cancer cured.
Good job. Excellent. Well done, sir.
Good yay. Work. You saw it here, folks.
Yeah, I just cured cancer.
Speaking of cancer, what's your number three here?
My number three is one that...
it's not cancer.
It is not cancer, because cancer sucks.
Cancer.
Okay. But at the same time, well, it's completely non-related. This is one that, you know, to me, feels like it should be higher on my list. I mean, it should be like number one, maybe number two, because it's what I'm all about, and that's movies. But at the same time, I mean, I can get more specific than that. But my number three is going to be movies. I mean, there is. I mean, ask Rachel.
Is your number
two
going to be video games?
No, video games are not on my list. I'm not that fond of video games. I'm not fond of video games, but there's shit I like better. But I love movies. I watch movies constantly. I'm not watching movies right now. I'm doing this podcast, and I'm a little bit bitter at my podcast for taking away from my movie time.
I could be watching a movie right now.
To me, there's just the thing I love about movies is it's neat to – I especially like it in shit like you know, Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or just something that I've read before. I think it's neat.
Conversions, seeing visuals of something that you've read.
It's neat seeing how people translate things that I've already translated in my head. It's neat.
I agree.
It's neat seeing people's ideas about what a Dementor would look like.
Yeah.
Or like what an Uruk-hai would look like. Mm-hmm. I love movies, but it is not – I mean, and I'm not a – I mean, you wouldn't know it by looking at this list. Well, I mean, even looking at my top six movies list, you wouldn't know it that I am a much more sophisticated movie watcher than what I let on. I mean, I would have to say that if I had a favorite genre of movie, it's probably like high drama, because there's nothing I love in a movie more than a really good performance. And I love movies. I'm always looking for the next best one. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking forward to a movie. There's never been a day in my life since the day I saw Pulp Fiction that I have not been looking forward to a movie that's coming out, and that's true to this day. And I love movies. I love them so much. That's why they're easily my number three and why I almost feel guilty throwing them that high on my list. So, Ethan, what's your number two?
Number two, along the same lines, everyone knows I'm a huge movie fan, movie buff. But one of the things that came out, you know, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, roundabouts, was DVD.
I do love me some fucking DVD.
And
I'm loving me some Blu-ray, dude.
Well, yeah, but I consider
the
that
special features.
Of DVD, you know, and DVD sort of brought along the special feature
and,
to us junkies who could watch the making of and get excited about, you know, a two-and-a-half-hour documentary on the making of Jaws.
I've seen 2.5-hour documentaries on movies that I fucking hated, but I like the documentaries.
Yeah. I've pulled DVDs off of my shelf just to watch the extra features.
Oh, sure.
Don't watch the movie. I just watch the extra features.
I do that all the time. I do that all the time.
I don't like this movie, but the director's commentary is
I love
the movie, but I'm like, I don't want to watch the movie right now. I just want to watch the making of.
You know, like, yeah. I love the Within the Minute on the Episode 3 DVD. I don't watch the movie that often, but I love that.
And
I watch
commentary on that was really good.
Fucking awesome,
Some, like, director commentary. Yes, it started with Laserdisc to an extent, but really the extra features just came into their own DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, DVD, when it started, sort of, you know, iffy, and then it, you know,
and nowadays,
now it's got some
people,
great stuff.
People
on.
Are making, doing projects with ideas in mind
for
things that you're
going to
put on the DVD.
Yeah, and as they're making a movie, they're filming, they're doing stuff. It's like, oh, this is going to go on the DVD.
Intentionally,
yeah.
This is not ever going to go in the main film. This is a DVD.
And I love that. I love that.
It's cool.
Blu-ray's coming out now with some great stuff.
Oh, shit. I mean,
interactive stuff. It's wonderful.
If you ever get over it, I want to borrow your Seven Samurai
because that has got to be phenomenal on Blu-ray. I mean, because what is it? What is 50 gig will fit on that? And that's just like 50 gigabytes of just beautiful information.
We watched it the other day. It's gorgeous.
I believe it. I believe it. I mean, I love that
I'll
movie.
Bring it next week.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah, I mean, I like. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me blue. I love me DVD, and I understand what you're saying. I love me some fucking Blu-ray because I like the fact that it's just so condensed.
Mm-hmm.
You can get like
it's right there.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean,
so yes, you go see the movie in the movie theater, and it's like this is. I love this movie. This is great. But then I look forward to when it comes out on DVD because I'm like, what goodies are going to be on this?
What,
in this,
wait,
this
what
set,
else
you know?
Do I get to see?
I, there are times I will skip a movie.
Look at it and go interactive mint. Fuck you.
There are times when I will skip a movie in the theater just because I know I'm going to check this out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Cop Out is an example of that because I love Kevin Smith's shit, and I feel kind of bad because I'm going to throw the guy a few bucks. But, you know, he gets a few bucks when I check out the DVD. So,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, the theatrical thing is really the first step, you know, because, you know, as much as I loved Inception, I cannot fucking wait for that DVD
because
Nolan does such good shit on his DVDs, mm-hmm. and Inception should be so interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a sucker for
me too
for stuff like that. I mean,
me too.
I will check out a DVD, Netflix it, whatever, just based on the it's a director's cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's how I finally watched the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2.
Yeah,
but yeah, cool.
Yeah, DVD.
Groovy. What's your number two, Shay?
My number two is gadgets. I love gadgets. Like I love my little Palm Pre. I like smartphones.
I like
basically the same thing that Aaron said for technology, a slightly more specific. I like little sort of like, is this important to like save anyone's life?
Could
be. Does it defibrillate anybody or something like this? No, I'm specifically referring to, medical technology that allows people to, you know, save lives. That's really great. But I just geek out on like, this little thing, I can put an app on it and then I can check my farm bill. And, you know, I mean, that kind of little sort of innocuous gadgetry. And like recently I've heard about they're planning on, so your phone, like my phone's got a camera, you know, I activate the camera. Supposedly there's groups working on what's called augmented reality where like you look at stuff through your cell phone camera and it has extra like nifty things like holograms and such that people can add to their, you know, business front or their billboard or something like that. And I'm like, that's just super neat. I'm looking, you know, the more that kind of stuff is just something that I think is just really geeky and cool.
Batman with a sword.
Oh, by the way, Robot Pizza did not come back. It went somewhere, so it's owned by somebody, but it doesn't.
My phone's a sonic screwdriver.
I'm not surprised.
That's pretty nifty.
We're just illustrating how awesome technology is.
Whee!
Useless fun.
Hey. Uh-oh. You can get in a lightsaber duel with Aaron.
My phone's a fucking lightsaber. Leading into my number two. My number two, that's groovily appropriate. My number two is Star Wars. I know that actually falls into movies, but to me it's more specific than that. Because I think that Star Wars is the first thing I really and truly 100% fucking geeked out on. I mean, I think this motherfucker knows better than most just like how big of a Star Wars geek I used to be.
Used to be.
You know what?
You still have a lightsaber on your phone.
I haven't watched. Yeah, that's Chewbacca. I haven't watched the movies in months. And that would have never happened. I love me some Star Wars. And it just taught me, you know, how deep some people are willing to go about things they love. And, you know, to me, that's really kind of like the very definition of geekiness.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I love Star Wars. It's, you know, I mean, I have my complaints about the prequels, but I just got to love it because of what it did for my life.
The Star Wars pile.
And do bear in mind that Ethan is just going to reaching distance. That's just kind of how it rolls.
We knew this about Aaron.
I think if you watch the show, you know that about me as well. So, yeah, Star Wars,
and
easily, my number two.
You managed to break your rule without breaking your rule. You talked about Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm not getting into specifics about it. So, yeah, Ethan, number two. Or Ethan, number one, I guess.
Number one. My number one's already been mentioned, and I think it's the internet. And it's for the same reasons you put it up where you put it at, I'm putting it at number one. It's because it encompasses everything.
Yeah.
It is I don't geek out
about the internet, though. I geek out about Star Wars and shit like that.
Well, you see, but without the internet, I wouldn't be able to geek out about Doctor Who.
See, I was able to, though, before the internet.
You know, DVD releases and stuff like that. I think the internet is a very big, amazing, great place. And
the first democratic medium.
Yeah. It is very truly democratic medium.
Everybody loves the fucking internet.
Mm-hmm.
You too can have your own website.
What the fuck is the internet? That's got to be one of the best movie lines of all time. Yes, dear.
I've got my top three.
You came up with your top three.
So you want to be on the show now?
Well, come on. I'm gonna go. Come on.
No.
What's your top three?
I'm a Glee. So.
Glee.
Glee. Good show.
She's a Glee. Okay.
Two is Buffy.
Buffy. And one is Aaron. He is a geek phenomenon, right? Isn't he?
I am a geek phenomenon. I have my own show and everything. That's so sweet. Cool. Keep going about the internet.
Fuck the internet.
I hate the internet.
No. You know, it's.
I kind of like
social
media.
It's pretty much the basics of it. It allows you to get whatever you love. You want to geek out about it's there, and we're talking about accessible now.
We're talking apples and oranges here because I don't geek out about the internet. I geek out about shit on the internet.
So that's why it allows me to geek out.
Yeah.
And see, I know that's just
a venue.
You can just go to a forum and write a post
about something that you care about, and you know what? You'll find
other people who care about how much I hate something,
and they'll totally agree with you. And
why?
Like you'll
you,
find like three
you can
friends.
Go online and pretend to be part of the Star Wars Episode II crew.
I did that. Was that not awesome?
Yes, it was.
Did they believe me?
Yes, they did.
Whole fucking heartedly.
That was hysterical.
They were calling me sir and asking to be in the movie and everything. It was badass.
It was a Yahoo chat or something.
It was a Yahoo chat room. Yes. And they were eating it. They were eating
and
out of my hands.
Without the internet, we wouldn't have
never be able
great
to do
memories
that.
And
point.
Things like that.
Without the internet, there'd be no podcasts.
It is true.
It's true. And we wouldn't have a show. We'd just be sitting around talking. Mm-hmm. Like,
and we wouldn't be subjecting others to it.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to watch it. That's another thing that's great about
having,
the internet.
I can ignore the fuck out of things on the internet.
Sure can.
We'd probably be having these conversations, but other people
not
wouldn't
recording
be able to know about it.
Yeah.
Shay, what's your number one most geeky
number one most geeky thing is, to be perfectly honest, my favorite thing of all time is worlds. I like world settings. Like, you were mentioning Superman. To me, that goes into this category. It's like the world of Superman, the world of Faerun, the world of Kryn, the world of Star Wars. I mean, the way that people create entire realities for stories to be told in that have phenomenal rules like lightsabers and magic. That's what I probably geek out about the most. I mean, I have like 12 of my own creations that I, you know, that I work with and run games in, and I am familiar with twice as many, if not three times as many, beyond that. That's what I'm probably the most geeky about is this settings, so to speak.
Cool. You want to hit any honorable mentions before I hit my number one?
Superheroes, chat.
I think pretty much my honorable mentions have already been mentioned by other people here.
I got to throw Harry Potter in there. I love me some Harry Potter. I think I was able to express that a lot on
Harry Potter.
I love the world of Harry Potter.
I was thinking pretty broad.
And Doctor Who, Doctor Who's world type of thing. But the way I look at him is much more broad and whatnot. But as I think going beyond that gets into what's my favorite TV show, what's my favorite movie, that sort of thing.
And you know, to me, you know, obviously Star Wars is my favorite movie and all that shit. But to me, I chose it as my number two because it was really a leaping off point for me.
Sure,
it turned me into the geek that I am today. You know, good or bad, and I just gotta appreciate that.
Bad, we're gonna have whatever. To say bad. Yeah.
Fine, say bad all you want. But you know, when it comes down to it, getting into my number one, it's something that. Thank you, baby. I got a beer.
Your number one is Rachel.
I was talking to Rachel that time, but something that, you know, as much as us geeks enjoy being geeks and shit, it's a very lonely profession. I mean, being a geek is a very
I mean, it's a very...
We're lucky to have found each other.
We're lucky to have found each other. I mean, it's a very...
Music swells.
It's a very polarizing thing because, you know, when other people are out there worrying about North Korea bombing South Korea and the next presidential election...
We're like, fuck you, Han shot first.
Han shot first. And so it's a very...
That's right. I want that t-shirt.
And it's a very... It's just a lonely feeling. And... I don't think any geek can be a geek without his geek friends. That's why my geek friends are my number one.
Aww.
Because you have to have something and somebody to relate to. I mean, otherwise, you know, what's the point? I mean, who the fuck else is going to...
call your friends.
You're going to call my friends on my cell phone. I mean, how many other people out there are going to listen to, like, that diatribe I went on about my... about, like, the Count Dooku lightsaber?
Oh, my God.
And A, not punch me in the face, and B, understand it. And
that's a good point.
It's just you got to have those people to relate to, otherwise it's all for nothing. Because, you know, as much as I love, you know, having gizmos and gadgets and movies and Harry Potter and Star Wars and internet, and I just like having people to share it with. You know, I like being able to say to Ethan, hey, did you watch the new fucking Linkara or whatever? Or, you know, I like saying to Shay, hey, dumbass, go watch The Walking Dead number one on AMC.com. It's there for free streaming. And as much as, you know, a geek makes people alone, I got to have those other people. And so therefore, you know, having my geek friends makes it all worthwhile. So they're my number one.
Good answer.
I'm gay.
Good answer.
Good answer.
What was
Ninja Turtles?
Pork Rind.
Pork Rind. I love me some fucking movies. That's my number one.
Potato chips.
But I guess we're here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and we're all out of bubblegum.
So. Yeah, but before we kick ass and chew bubblegum, we got ourselves a show to implore that you watch. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with Watch This of The Walking Dead. Hey, motherfuckers, we are back with Watch This. We are going to be talking about the AMC shizzo that is known as The Walking Dead, motherfuckers. I like this show an awful lot. It's zombies.
Oh, really?
I do.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, really.
I don't bury
the...
I am the epitome of not burying the lead. You know that. I wear my sleeves like a badge on my fucking... Yeah, you call somebody who cares.
That's gonna be my going joke from now on.
Man, and shit, you should pick something funny.
I gotta go with what's given to me.
But yeah, I'm gonna give you The Walking Dead. I watched the first two episodes. I haven't gotten around to watching three or four. Ethan's the same. Did you watch any?
I watched one episode. I watched the episode that you gave me.
So you watched the second episode.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what I'm gonna give it the highest compliment that I can, in that I watched the first episode, loved it, enjoyed it, all that good
and
shit.
Wanted to watch the next,
mm-hmm. Right. And I've read the comic books, and yep. I know what's going on with that.
And it seems like it just goes smack on with the comic, from what I remember. And I've read the first graphic novel.
It's pretty goddamn close. Mm-hmm. But I got pissed off that the second episode wasn't 90 minutes. Because the first one was, second one was not. And... what I like about it is the fact that it's pretty much a zombie movie every week, mm-hmm. and it's a guaranteed well-made
zombie movie.
It looks good.
Yeah. It's not about the zombies, it's about the people in
it. It's about the people.
And
I mean,
we've talked about that before. But
We got Andrew Lincoln playing the Frank Grimes? Something Grimes. Officer Grimes. The lead
Officer
character.
Friendly.
Yeah,
something Grimes. I know it's Grimes.
He introduces himself as Officer Friendly in the second episode.
It's a good... It's... Yeah.
He's from one of my favorite movies. He's in Love Actually, but hey, you know, he's been in other stuff as well. It was weird seeing Michael Rooker show up in the second episode, but at the same time, I mean, he's an actor.
Well, it's also, I noticed at least the first two episodes were written by Frank Darabont, and he's
the overall series dude. He directed the first one.
And Darabont's top-notch director-writer, and I think AMC has sort of been hit and miss with a few of its miniseries and series of late, but I haven't seen Mad Men, but I did see The Prisoner.
Mad Men's pretty good.
Do you know the name of that? In the first episode, the black guy? That actor?
No, but I know him.
He's. I should look up his info, and I will do so, but I really enjoy seeing him, but he was in The Prisoner as well.
Right.
So.
I like The Prisoner.
But I think it goes to what you're saying. It's a zombie movie every week so far.
Oh, yeah.
And just the first two episodes I've seen of.
I like the way the one character was calling
them geeks.
I'm mad that
the first season's only going to be seven episodes.
Yeah. And then we have to wait another year for the next season.
We have to wait another year.
It seems like
they're
specifically avoiding the word zombie because they're just like geeks and walkers.
And they did that in the book.
Yeah. Books like that too.
Yeah. Well, that's actually pretty common in zombie movies.
They do it well.
Especially very much so in Romero's, because he doesn't like the term zombies. He likes the term walking dead, if I remember right, which is, I believe, is where, Rick Grimes, excuse me. But we got, Frank Grimes is that guy from The Simpsons, but, was it Bill Willingham, the dead Walking Dead? The comic book? I can't remember. And I believe whoever created The Walking Dead, that's actually kind of like where they got the title for it. Because
the actor I'm thinking about is Lenny James.
Lenny James?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there
he's
you
British
go.
British actor.
Yeah.
He was in Snatch. He was in Jericho.
I was in Snatch last night, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Oh.
Nope.
My.
But, you know, yeah, it's just after the first episode, you know, deals some great stuff.
I'm hooked. I don't know about you guys.
I want to see another episode.
I mean, you know, I want to get the DVD.
Speaking of DVD,
when it comes
I'm excited to see what
I want to see the first episode.
There,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
But Michael Rooker's character is going to come back.
Oh shit! Yeah, bite that guy in
but
the
it's,
ass.
It's,
well, he also does in the
but
books,
I just
so.
Can't get over how. I really like how it's not about the zombies.
No,
and they're not going into what started this whole thing.
What
that's
the problem
not important.
Is, yeah.
They get to it eventually.
I'm sure they do, but the thing is, as of the stage of the first two episodes, it's not important.
Motherfuck,
it's
why
infectious.
It happened.
That's
what are we going to do about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's we could sit here and debate over why it's happened, but
that's
and what happened, but it has happened, and it's here now.
The important part
it.
Is that it is an infectious zombie where you can't, like, touch them. It's not just, like, if you die, you get up. There was I kind of take it from the perspective as if I just sort of watched it one night on TV because I just watched the one episode. But I've been able to put a handful of things together. Like, there was a dead person in a tank in the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously hadn't gotten bitten or touched. He was just dead in the tank. And so he didn't turn into a zombie. So it's an infectious zombie thing. And that's really the only question I have about... I don't care where the zombies came from.
How many people felt bad for the fucking horse at the end of the first one? Poor horsey.
Didn't catch that.
And then, unfortunately, reminded me of Survival of the Dead when they taught the zombies how to eat horses. But at the same time, you know, I felt bad for it because he talked the horse up. He's all like, can't offer you much, but I can offer you an open road and blah, blah, blah. And the horse is all like, right on. And then he goes, gets eaten.
Yeah.
Poor little horse. But... a good show. I mean, I really, really enjoy it. I'm going to be checking it out more. I wish I had AMC.
It really seems
I don't.
Like it's capturing the spirit of the comic real well. So.
Strikes me as a shoe-in for some Emmys, Golden Globes, shit like that.
Something. Yeah.
Maybe SAG Awards, something like that. It's really, really highly rated.
They've gotten together a really good cast. I mean, no huge names in it, but it doesn't need it. So that's not what it's about.
No. I mean, the biggest name attached to it is Darabont.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a lot of people don't know who that is, even though they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's such a redundant thing to say. But they know his work.
They're familiar with his work. I probably know his work, but I don't know.
He did, like, The Green Mile and Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, know his work.
He does a lot of Stephen King shit.
The Mist, probably one of the most recent ones.
I thought the storytelling was sort of reminiscent of maybe a Battlestar Galactica or Lost, where it has the sort of like last time, flash, 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 flash.
Last time on Doctor Who.
Well, Doctor Who doesn't do it as much.
Well, it's an overarching story.
It's a progressive or continuing storyline.
You know, that's sort of the norm for TV nowadays. But the series is starting off first two episodes top notch. You know, it's gripping. It's got a good story, and I'm enjoying it.
Can we say fucking flies? Flies are that's cool. That's one of the things I really like about the show. Is that's something I've always. I mean, I've never put two and two together before, but you know, there has always been something missing in zombie movies, and it turns out there must be flies. I mean, it really adds a lot to the atmosphere of like mm-hmm. The Walking Dead, and sort of, you think about
it. I'm watching it and just sort of thinking this would not be on television 10 years ago.
Oh shit, oh, 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
There's people that don't want it on now.
Yeah, because it's pretty gruesome.
But it plays on graphic. A premium cable channel at 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So fuck them. Mm-hmm. Go to bed. You
don't
read the
it.
Bible then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Do whatever you want. But
yeah.
I'm gonna watch me some Walking
you're
fucking
not required
dead.
To keep
yeah,
your television on channel 5.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know,
I
check it out.
I like it. Rachel liked it, and she's not that huge into comic book stuff. And mm-hmm. But I don't think that's I don't
but
she's huge into
awesome.
Zombies.
I
don't think it's fair to lump it into the comic book grouping. But it is. I mean, it is a comic book, but that's irrelevant because you know people aren't going to go see it
novel, maybe.
And go read the comic.
Yeah,
I think people might hear, oh, it's based on a comic, or something. Go, really?
Huh. I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah. Or something.
And the comic is excellent.
Oh, sure.
I mean, like I said, I've only read the first graphic novel, but they're up to 60, 70 freaking issues.
Oh,
now,
sure.
So.
Oh, more than that.
Well,
it's,
sort of like,
it's been around for 10 years.
Rebuilding of civilization after the zombie apocalypse. I mean, that's
I mean,
the premise.
And it's consistently good. I've read like five or six or seven of the graphic novels, and it's consistently good. I mean, and it never really dips too much. I mean, it's always pretty good. So yeah, I mean,
so you got a lot of good material to work with, basically.
I guess that's watch this. For
I
me,
do
anyway.
Get. I mean, that's watch this for me. Watch it. If you're not, you're a fool.
I want to see stuff. More. That's my best I can say.
Okay, so moving on, we're going to be right back with the outro section. Stay tuned. With the outro section, this has been issue number 33. It's been our Thanksgiving issue. I was all kinds of gay on the top six segment, but it was fun, and that's truly how I feel. We did start off everything with a we make it of Captain America, but it looks like we want to see a stylistic movie, and I'm surprised that people are agreeing with me because I've seen so many movies, I just kind of get bored of the same old. And then after that, we did a watch this of the new and excellent AMC series of The Walking Dead. So that's what we've done this week. I've had a lot of fun, but next week is going to be a real doozy. We're going to be starting up everything with a casting couch of Superman, which is actually we're going to add an interesting element to it, because what we're doing is we're going to be casting, you know, your normal people, your Clark Kents and Lois Lane and so forth, but we are going to be leaving the villain role open, and we're each going to cast a villain and who we would like to see, and we're going to be making the argument of why we would like to see said person. So that should be interesting. After that, we're going to be doing a characterization of Inception, the excellent 2010 Christopher Nolan release. Basically, I would imagine we're going to be discussing what would need to be done to make this into a role-playing game world. And then after that, we're going to be doing a Confessions of a Movie Snob on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. These two fools have not seen it yet. I have, Rachel and I have. But we're going to be discussing this movie next week. And if you just can't get yourself enough Red Phone Zone until then, go back and check out issue number 7, where it was all about Harry Potter and how at least I feel about it. One of my favorite personal issues. It was a lot of fun to do. Was it?
Is that 7?
You're right. It was issue number 6. We did our
Harry Potter. 8?
I think it was 6.
Six?
I think
we did 2 in a row.
We did 2 in a row. 6 is the first one we did at Rachel's house, if I remember.
That would be the Harry Potter.
Right now,
motherfuck all that.
Yeah.
But after all that, we have a little fun special segment where we're going to be naming our Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthaz nominees. We've actually gone so far as to post rules about how it is that we're going to choose these people. Each of us is going to be walking in with 2 nominees in case, before we get a chance to name our nominee, that person is chosen, so we have a backup. And we're going to be having some of the gentlemen from the Bagman Boardcast Skyping in to be naming their nominee, which should be interesting. I do know that John is definitely going to do it, and it sounds like Chris is going to do it. They're trying to get Paul in on it, too. So it should be a lot of fun. I've had my nominees since we did this past one when we named Stan the fucking Man Lee as the newest member of the Zone of Ruthaz. I've known who I was going to have, and it's actually a bit of a departure for me because, you know, I typically name old white guys, and that is not what I'm doing this time. That's true. It was Morgan Freeman. He's an old guy.
He is an old guy.
He just didn't happen to be white. He wasn't as old as, you know, Christopher Lee.
It's hard to be as old as Christopher fucking Lee.
Stan Lee is.
Stan the fucking Man Lee.
Sir, that's true. Stan the fucking Man Lee.
I don't think Stan the fucking Man Lee has been knighted yet.
We're petitioning the Queen.
We are? I'm
petitioning the Queen.
I'll be damned.
I thought...
Weren't
you at that?
Sir Steven Spielberg's, because he is knighted by the Queen. He's just not allowed to use his title because he's a dirty American bastard. So, hey. So, cool. I'm looking forward to next week's show. Casting couch should be interesting because we're actually, you know, putting some originality into there.
I already got my villain picked.
And we're not used to
that. We're not original.
We steal from the Red Phone Zone. We do steal from the Red Phone Zone. I'm looking forward to getting the other guys in on there. Hopefully, we're not going to have the big fucking delay that we had last time. That was so annoying.
Well, I don't think we're probably not going to look at broadcasting it then.
No, more than likely
it's
not.
It's going to be way too much going
on. So can we get a pledge from you to get 31 and 32 up by next week?
I will do everything in my power to do so.
Bullshit.
You gonna kick him in the nuts, punch him in the face?
Sure.
Okay,
sure,
good. Not. That's all I asked.
Sure, why not? Did you get that stuff for us, Mr. Chad?
It's done. It's in my house. I fucking left it.
Good place for it.
Yeah, what day is it?
Last Tuesday.
Tuesday, I think. Tuesday.
last Tuesday. So, did you guys like this show? No. How about you?
I liked the noir thing with Captain America was really kind of unexpected. You mentioned it, and I had not thought of it at all, but I totally, like, everything I was about to say about Captain America, the movie, I was like, no, done, nah, nah, it's noir.
As much as I like talking shit on you, there's something I have to always remind myself about you.
That he loves your hair.
No. Hopefully somebody... He's got a hair only a barber could love. But, no.
Never do that again.
Never do that again.
Or I will hit you with this cell phone.
It's not even that. It's just that, like, Shay hasn't seen as many movies as me. So naturally he's going to like, you know, The Prince of Persia. Because he hasn't seen anything good to counteract that.
How can I change the fact that I liked the movie?
Because it sucked.
It doesn't... Thank you.
You did not.
It
not as much
enjoyable.
As him.
I'm not saying it was Citizen Kane or Seven
Samurai. The whole fucking world's against us, I swear to God, Silent Bob. Wow. Fuck that movie. But yeah, no, that's just the way that Shay is. He hasn't seen as many movies, so...
I don't watch a lot of movies or a lot of TV.
Especially for reviewing.
I know.
I hear it rots your brain.
I've pretty much watched things specifically to review them in the last couple of months.
I've never watched anything specifically to review, but I watch it to enjoy it.
I've been watching Battlestar Galactica for the last 6 months, and I'm still in season two. That's how often I watch. I mean, I have it all on DVD. I can put them in and watch them anytime I want, and I've managed to get to season two
in
6 months.
When I get started on something, I mean, I watched six seasons of The Office in a month, so...
Yeah, no, I've once upon a time I sat down and watched every episode of Smallville back to back. It was like a 5 day.
I watched seven seasons of Scrubs in 2 days.
Can't get into that show.
I love Scrubs.
I like Scrubs. It's funny shit.
We should do a watch this on Scrubs.
I don't know.
It's worth it.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, it has to be unanimous.
He's a gay homosexual, so that's why. Do you have anything to add, Ethan?
This is why he really does the show, you see.
I got a text. You guys have anything to add?
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Yeah, gobble. I think that's it.
You?
Bye!
How about from the studio audience?
The silence is deafening.
The silence says volumes.
I think they've killed each other.
Thanks for watching.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, have a good Thanksgiving. Yeah. That's about all I got to add. So I guess until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
I'm Shay.
Let your geek flag fly.